So this is a lesson where you need to have your pen out. I advise and recommend that you mark in your Bible, you need a paper Bible to mark in it, that you have and use a Bible to take notes in. So I recommend you have that with you, have your notepad with you. Not that anything I'm going to say raises to the importance of what the Word says, but we're going to be looking at what the Word says this morning. And you caught on to the curtains, right? The curtains are to be made of, verse 7, the curtains are to be made of, you can say it, goat's hair. How are you doing with your goat's hair? Can you run down to Joann Fabrics and buy a skein of goat's hair? You might be able to. I don't even know. But I doubt it. You shall make the curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. Each curtain, 30 cubits by 4 cubits, and there shall be 11 in all. I really wanted to read this morning because I wanted to notice that when you finish hanging them, there's supposed to be a single cubit of overlap in the back. And I wonder what it felt like when they hung the cubits and they were just a little over or just a little short. God told them exactly how to build his tabernacle. He told them exactly what he wanted this thing to look like and how to put it together. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll dive into our lesson today. Holy Lord, you are great and awesome and glorious, Father. We praise your name and pray that your name is honored in our lives every day and that your word is followed in our lives every day. Thank you, Lord, for spelling out with such specificity your instructions to your people, in your covenants, to us, in your church, to your son in his walk. We pray, Father, that our lives can be submissive and humble before you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. We pray that in this time together, we can encourage one another, we can teach your word, we can follow your word, and we can be edified and exhorted to be the men and women you need us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So what was the very first sentence that Lane read for us? John 14, 15, wasn't it? What's the very first sentence? I didn't put it in the lesson today. I thought about it, and I didn't realize that was the reading. I don't make every connection I should be making throughout the week. The Lord does, but I don't. We'll be back in Exodus in a second. John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's turn and begin in Exodus 25. Why is it that we meet on the first day of the week? Why is it that we organize ourselves to have elders that shepherd us, evangelists that preach the word, teachers that teach, deacons that serve? Why do we only collect up money through the voluntary giving of individuals and families? Why don't we open up a business and keep money, raise money that way? If we were smart about it, we could probably raise a lot more money. We could invest in the stock market. We could do a lot of things that could raise money. Why do we teach people to believe that Christ is the Son of the living God, to repent of their sins, and to find forgiveness by being baptized into him, and then serve him with the rest of your life? Why is it that we are so specific about moral issues? In Exodus chapter 25, God begins a conversation. Most of it's one way. Conversation with Moses. And it says at the very beginning of chapter 25 of Exodus, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution.'" And then jumping down, he talks about the materials and the things that he wants to be contributed through verse 9. Verse 10, he says, "They shall construct an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide." And then jumping to verse 23, "You shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide." Verse 31, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered wood." Verse 40, he gets specific. "You shall make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain." Chapter 26, verse 1, "You shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet and material." God is giving Moses exact instructions for something Moses has never imagined and has never seen. Being a man who grew up in Egypt, he didn't know God's will in worship, God's will in connection. He didn't understand God's glory. He didn't know God's holiness. He didn't know what God wanted out of his people. And I know this is a very simple and a very, elementary look at what the tabernacle might have looked like. But these curtains are layered in the center of the tabernacle. Another view of what it might look like. These are the layers, and this is what Riley was reading for us a minute ago. What I just read, the fine twisted linen, blue and purple and scarlet, make them with cherubim and the work of a skillful workman in verse 1 of chapter 26, is the inner layer, is the inside layer. That layer is covered by 11 curtains of goat's hair, and that layer is covered by scarlet dyed ram's skin. And that layer is covered by I don't know what. At the end of verse 14, you have the word translated. The translation in front of me into English says porpoise. The King James, I believe, used the word badger. You'll find a sea cow mentioned in one of the versions. You'll find that some of the dictionaries say it's probably an antelope skin. We don't know what kind of skin this Hebrew word translated into. It probably wasn't a Hebrew word of origin. It was probably a word used in the region to define or describe a certain animal. But let it be known that there was skins on top of skins on top of goat's hair on top of fine linen. Layer upon layer, the number of posts down the sides, the number of rings on each of the curtains. Down in verse 15 of chapter 26, if you aren't good at making curtains, you can make the boards, verse 15. And then you shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing upright, 10 cubits in length for each board, and 1.5 cubits the width for each board. There shall be 2 tenons for each board, fitted one on another. You shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. Verse 19, you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for its 2 tenons. Verse 26, you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle. Verse 31, you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. Verse 36, you shall make a screen for the doorway of the tent, blue and purple and scarlet. Verse 37, you shall make 5 pillars of acacia for the screen and overlay them with gold. Chapter 27, verse 1, you shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square and its height shall be 3 cubits. Verse 9 of chapter 27, you shall make the court of the tabernacle. On the south side there shall be hangings of the court of fine twisted linen, 100 cubits long for each side, 150 feet. 150 feet approximately long is this outer courtyard, all lined by fine linen. Verse 20 of chapter 27, you shall charge the sons of Israel, and they shall bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make the lamp a lamp burn continually. Chapter 28, you shall make holy garments for Aaron. These garments, verse 4, which you shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a tunic of checkered wood, a turban and a sash, they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as a priest to me. And all of chapter 28 is a description of those garments. And chapter 29 is a consecration of the priests to prepare for them to serve God. And the end of chapter 29 is how to provide for the sacrifice and the food for the priests, that they may serve God and serve in the tabernacle. Chapter 30, moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. Its length shall be 1 cubit, its width 1 cubit. It shall be square, and its height shall be 2 cubits. Its horn shall be of 1 piece with it, and overlay it with pure gold, its top and its sides. Chapter 22 of Exodus 30, excuse me, verse 22 of Exodus 30. I can read. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take for yourself the finest of spices, flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and a fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and an olive oil of a hin. And you shall make of these a holy anointing oil. I don't know if you've smelled myrrh, but between the sugar and the cinnamon and the myrrh in this, I would imagine this really smelled nice. Anointing oil that smelled that sweet and that fragrant and that pleasant. In that chapter 31, verse 1, and now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by my name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for the work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in the cutting of stones for settings, in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. What an amazing, amazing story. This personal conversation, God to Moses, continual detail after detail after detail. And the people down in camp were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting, and they were waiting for Moses. And this glorious description is coming from God to Moses. This magnificent description of what his tabernacle, of what his intimate connection would be like between him and his people. And do you remember what the people did waiting for Moses? Chapter 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said, come, make us a God who will go before us. Verse 4, he took from their hand and fashioned with it an engraving tool and made it into a molten calf. While God is giving Moses, out of his love, calling for the hearts of the people, one detail after another, one special connection after another, one aspect after another, the people won't wait. We are the people of God. We have our own perspective on what God ought to want, what God ought to be like, what our lives need, what God ought to act like, what ought to please him. But we need to wait and learn and know his word, not our will. Moses gets angry. God gets angry. The people receive God's intervention and punishment. Moses, at the end of chapter 33, things have been restored, and Moses said, I'm not moving forward without you, Lord. In that famous conversation, in verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, etc., where Moses says, I'm not moving forward without you, Lord. I want to know your glory, he asks in verse 18. Verse chapter 34, God replaces the tablets that were broken in Moses' anger. And at the end of verse 27, Exodus 34, 27, God says, write it down. Everything I taught you, everything I told you, every instruction I gave you, write it down. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words in accordance with these words. I have made a covenant with you and Israel. And in chapter 35, he calls the people together and he teaches them what he wrote down. It took them 40 days. Verse 28 of chapter 34. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. He wrote down what God told him to write. And in verse 35, he told the people exactly what God instructed. And in verse 10 of 35, let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its hooks, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the ark, the poles, the mercy seat, the curtains, the table, the poles and utensils, the bread of the presence, the lampstand for the light, the utensils for the lamp, the altar and its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the doorway and the entrance of the tabernacle and the altar of the burnt offering, etc., etc., the hangings of the court, verse 17, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs in the court and the woven garments for administering the holy place, the garments for Aaron, the priests, and for his sons. And then he says in verse 21, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent. Back from the very beginning, God says, I only want people whose heart is with me. In his very first instructions, he asks for people to respond in heart. And then in chapter 35, it is those whose heart moved them. It's repeated, verse 22. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings, etc. And every man who had possessions, verse 23, blue and purple and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hairs and ram skins, dyed red, and porpoise skins, whatever that was, brought them. Verse 29, and the Israelites and all the men and women whose heart moved them to bring material for all the work. And in verse 36, they gathered, chapter 36, they gathered together. And in chapter 37, they commenced working and they built the tabernacle. And in chapter 38, the tabernacle was completed. In chapter 38, verse 22, now Bezalel, the son of Uri, remember him? The son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. They obeyed it from the heart. They listened and they responded, not just in obedience, not just in legalism, not just in whatever you say, but they took it in their hearts to obey God. And then they did so just as the Lord had commanded. Can you stick with me in chapter 20 and 39? End of verse 1. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses in regard to Aaron's garments. And in verse 5, the material was of fine twisted linen, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And the shoulder pieces in the ephod in verse 7 were just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 21, the breastplate piece with the rings and the rings of the ephod were just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 26, the bell and the pomegranate all around the hem of the robe was just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 29, the sash of fine twisted linen was just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And the blue cord on it and the fashioned turban above, verse 31, end of 31, was just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in verse 32, the work of the tabernacle of the tent was completed to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, they did. And in verse 42, the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. And so Moses blessed them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses again, and says in verse 3, you shall place the ark And verse 4, you shall bring the table. And verse 5, you shall set the gold altar. And verse 6, you shall set the altar of the burnt offering. And verse 7, you shall set the laver between the tent and the altar. Verse 8, you shall set up the court. Verse 9, you shall make an atoning oil and shall consecrate it. Verse 10, you shall anoint the altar. Verse 11, you shall anoint the laver. Verse 12, you shall bring Aaron and his sons. Verse 13, you shall put the holy garments on Aaron. Verse 14, you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. Verse 15, you shall anoint even as you have anointed their father, that they may be minister as priests to me. Verse 16, and thus Moses did, all according to what the Lord had commanded, so he did. Verse 19, he spread the tent over the tabernacle, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 21, he brought the ark of the tabernacle and set up the veil, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 23, he set the arrangement of the bread in order on it before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 25, he lighted the lamps before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 27, he burned the fragrant incense on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 29, he set the altar of the burnt offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And verse 32, when they entered the tent of meeting, they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and he erected the court all around the tabernacle, verse 33, and the altar, and hung the veil in the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. 19 times we get the quotation, or a slight variation thereof, that this was done just as the Lord had commanded. What an awesome scene that would have been. What an awesome thing that would have been to experience and to know about in firsthand observation. What an amazing thing to participate in. Specific instructions, specific skills, specific contributions, all driven by God's commands and obeyed by our hearts, their hearts. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's an odd little story, an odd little detail of a story. Luke chapter 11. The power of the tabernacle is amazing. The tabernacle eventually was converted to be a temple built, of course, by Solomon. That temple was destroyed and rebuilt. That temple was destroyed and rebuilt. And that temple was destroyed. A tabernacle and three temples for God, all gone, no longer here physically, all built the way God had instructed, at least based on the instructions that God had given Moses. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. It's a part of the story we talked about on Wednesday night with a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of Christ. And while Jesus was saying these things, verse 27, Luke 11, 27, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." Jesus is making a point about how to honor the Holy Spirit of God. And this woman cries out. Now, I don't know how many times he was interrupted by this, but this one's recorded. An odd cry, a partly embarrassing cry out. Something to honor Jesus' mother, okay. But Jesus won't have it. He won't let it alone. And he answers verse 28, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. God, in his word, expects his people of their hearts, from their hearts, to hear his word, as Moses example for us, to learn his word and to do his word. It's amazing how detailed we have now of how the tabernacle was built. We have a lot of questions about how God wants his church to be run, how God wants our lives to be run. But he gives us his word. His moral pathway is spelled out before us. His instructions for the actions and the one another-isms of the church are given to us clearly. His message for the lost who do not know Christ, that they might know him, trust who he is, believe that he's the resurrected Son of God, see the need for change in their own lives, repent of that, confess Christ as Lord, and be baptized into him. These things are spelled out, and we're not following them out of some legalistic need to have control. We're not following this because we're letter followers and don't care about people. And let us never follow these things without our hearts leading the way. But in James chapter 1, God gives James these words. Verse 19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he has looked at himself, has gone away and immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." Moses did one detail after another, after another, after another, exactly the way God commanded. Let us always trust his word. Let us always go back to his word. We are the Lord's tabernacle today. He wants us built just as he commanded. James called us during our Lord's Supper. James brought us out of our mundane thinking and brought us into the majesty of Christ, into the preeminence of Christ. Not bookends, but everything is Christ. And yet somehow we still think, we as mankind still think we can define our faith. We can define God's will. We can define God himself. Let us trust him, know his word, and follow it just as the Lord has commanded. This morning, if there's any here who wish to be baptized into Christ, we're ready for that, and we want to help you with that. If there are any here who have some need that they want to express to the congregation, we'd love to help you with that. Whatever your need be, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing this song that's been